This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
En la obra, el tiempo vale oro. Por eso en Lowe's tenemos Pro Block Quick Dry Primer hecho por Sherwin-Williams. Diseñado para los pros con aplicación uniforme, tiempos de secado rápido y resultados impecables. Disponible en base de aceite o agua. Ordena en línea antes de las 2 p.m. y recibe entrega gratis el mismo día. Lowe's. Nosotros ayudamos. Tú ahorras. Pedidos hechos después de las 2 p.m. se entregan al día siguiente. Válido en códigos postales electos. Sujeto a disponibilidad de conductores. Aplican más términos.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. And with no long-term contracts required, you can change your setup whenever your business needs change. Protect your business with powerful features designed to keep you in complete control. Get round-the-clock audio-video recording for non-stop protection. Stop scrolling through hours of footage. Find almost any events efficiently with AI search. Keep an eye on up to 4 camera feeds at once across all your locations for total peace of mind. Get trained security professionals to monitor your business around the clock and request emergency when needed. Ring Business is easy to install yourself or let our professional installers do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most, running it. Ring Business, business security that works for you. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime. Kansas City wins the game.
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. It is finally here, Red Friday, for one of the most anticipated games of the regular season between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills. We are going to cover this thing forward and backward for all 4 hours of today's show. Coming up in just a little bit, we are going to be joined by Jeremy White of WGR in Buffalo. He does mornings in Buffalo. We'll get his thoughts getting ready for this matchup. Danny Parkins of Fox Sports 1 is going to join us on the show today. Nate Taylor is going to join us in studio. So we got you covered today for one of the biggest games of the NFL regular season between the Chiefs and the Bills. 100% of the country is going to have access to Sunday's game. This is not a game that's going to be covered up. This is not a game that's going to be blacked out. This game is going to be available to everybody. I think this is going to be the most watched regular season game that doesn't happen on Thanksgiving. We can acknowledge that Thanksgiving is a different time. Everybody is off work. It is part of the tradition to sit down and watch football. And you got the Chiefs going up against the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. That's going to do a tremendous number. I actually think that's going to be the most watched regular season game ever when you combine those two brands, Patrick Mahomes and Thanksgiving, and now all the different avenues that we have to watch football. I think this is going to be the most watched regular season game of the year. You got these two quarterbacks, 100% coverage for the entire country. I'm expecting 35 million, possibly more, to watch this game if we get the usual exciting finish that we get in this matchup. We'll get to all of that coming up in just a little bit. I want to remind you guys, Jeremy White's going to be on the show here coming up in a bit. Danny Parkins is going to be on the show. Nate Taylor is going to be on the show. So we got you covered here on a Red Friday. What I need to remind you of is a couple of things. Number one, and as you listen to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan, Number two, I need you to tell one friend to check out the show. I mean, telling two people to check out the show, I'd appreciate it, but if you could just tell one person, that's all I really need you to do. And Number three, and what might be most important, I need you to remember that the open of the show each and every day is brought to you by our friends over at The Other Place. So if you're looking for somewhere to go watch Kansas City and Buffalo. Maybe have yourself some Buffalo wings. Get yourself a cold beer. You got televisions everywhere. Look no further than our friends over at The Other Place. So how I would like to begin the show today is by playing for you guys some audio. This is from Dan Orlowski of ESPN Get Up. So the question was posed, is this a must-win for Kansas City or is this a must-win for Buffalo? Here's his answer.
Yeah, this is a must-win for Buffalo. And I go back to why last season ended the way it did. If you go to this matchup at home in Buffalo, Josh Allen has that massive run on fourth down that basically salts the Chiefs away. And then you go to the playoff game, that fourth down that was on the road in Kansas City where he's running around against that pressure, no plan for the protection, and it's a Hail Mary heave up with ends up being somewhat of a drop by Kincaid. For Buffalo to get to the Super Bowl, that game in the playoffs has to be played in Western New York.
I certainly understand the philosophy behind this, but I think this is a must-win for both teams. I'm not trying to dance out of this, but I think both teams equally need this game. Both of these teams are in a legitimate fight in their division. Kansas City has won the AFC West for 9 consecutive years. Buffalo has won their division for 5 consecutive years. For the most part, certainly during the Patrick Mahomes portion for the Chiefs, there hasn't really been a whole lot of competition. I mean, this team might pop up, but for the most part, the Chiefs have been able to run their own race, and they've really got out in front of everybody else. Buffalo has done the exact same thing. Sure, Miami pops up every once in a while, but the Jets have been unable to figure things out. You look at the rest of that division, it just, they've been unable to get things going. The Patriots have now fallen on hard times, but the Patriots have turned things around. The Broncos have turned things around. The Chargers have turned things around. Both of these teams are in legitimate fights in their division. And right now, you can't afford to give up any ground. Now, both of these teams we think is going to make the postseason. Both of these teams are going to be there until the absolute end. But if we're talking about for this individual Sunday, I think both teams need it. I just told you why in the division. Neither one of these teams right now are the favorite to be the one seed in the AFC. That team is Indianapolis. Indianapolis has been the most consistent team in the AFC so far this season. They have the number one scoring offense. They've been a top five defense from start to finish. They've been running through opponents. Now, I'm not asking you to believe in the Indianapolis Colts. I'm simply sitting here giving you the facts that right now, if you go on your gambling app of choice, Indianapolis is the favorite to be the one seed. So it's not just about keeping up and keeping pace with whether it's the Broncos or the Chargers or with the Patriots in the AFC East. It's also a race for another team in the Indianapolis Colts. So both of these teams kind of need this one. Kansas City playing a lot better, playing with some momentum. You look at the other teams in your division, you want to keep pace with them heading into a bye week. If you look at Buffalo, you've already lost the home game against the New England Patriots. You need this game too. Now, let's talk about a statement game and what I think this means for both of these teams heading into this matchup. There is a massive difference in being 6-3 and coming off a win at Buffalo heading into the road game against the Broncos, then being 5-4 heading into the bye week and really needing to win the Broncos game when you get back off of the bye week. Now, it's going to be important regardless of what happens, but we have talked about the Chiefs for the last couple of weeks like they've been the AFC without having the record to prove it. You win this game and you're 6-3 going into the bye week and you just came off a win in which you went on the road and beat Buffalo and you started this run by beating the Detroit Lions, there's going to be no question in my mind, regardless of what the record is, on who the best team is, not just in the NFL, not just in the AFC. So we're talking about a statement game of building a resume as we are building towards and getting closer towards Thanksgiving, getting closer toward the postseason. Let's play the schedule game for a little bit. When talking about Buffalo, they don't have many impressive wins. Buffalo has beat up on the bad teams in the National Football League this season. Now, if you want to give them a lot of credit for their opening win against the Ravens, sure, you can do that. The Ravens were healthy at that point. Our perception of the Ravens was really strong. But as the season progressed, that win got less and less impressive. And outside of that, they just beat up on bad teams. They beat up on Miami. They beat up on Tennessee. They beat up on Miami. They beat up on the bad football teams. And since then, when Buffalo has played anybody with the pulse, they lost. The Patriots look like they got a pulse. They lost that game. The Falcons, I don't know if it's a consistent pulse, but the Falcons got a pulse. The Bills got handled for 60 minutes in that game. Buffalo in 2025, not 2024, not with what they've done in the past. Buffalo today, here and now, in present day, they got to prove that they're one of these teams. Kansas City's proven it, in my opinion, by beating Detroit a couple of weeks ago. Buffalo hasn't proven that so far. So as we begin the show today, as we begin getting you ready for what should be a very exciting Sunday, I don't think that it is more of a must-win for this team or that team. I think both teams equally need this game. I agree with the premise that if you're Buffalo, you certainly want to host this game in January as opposed to going on the road. And you want to talk about a hostile environment, a fan base that would want nothing more than to end the Kansas City Chiefs. It's Buffalo at home in the postseason in fear of what could be the last game in that stadium and having Patrick Mahomes be the one to turn off the lights. That's not an environment I would want to go into if I'm the Kansas City Chiefs. If you're Buffalo, you want that home game. You want that energy. You want to have that advantage. And then it's a statement game. It's a swing game. It's Kansas City going into the bye week at 6-3, coming off a couple of really impressive wins and some great defensive performances versus being 5-4. And I'm sorry, the Chiefs will be in an absolute must-win situation in a couple of weeks against the Denver Broncos. That conversation about the getting to 10 and dominating the AFC West, it will be in jeopardy for the next 2 weeks if they lose this game. Them having a home playoff game, it will be in jeopardy if they lose this game, and they're going to have to really do some work in November to get over that. For the most part, the Chiefs have undone a very, very slow start and come out on the other side. This is completely closing the circle. It doesn't matter if you started 0-2 if you win this game and now you're 6-3 going into the bye week. And if you're Buffalo and you lose this game, you're going to have to continue to answer the question, hey, who have you beaten? Because right now, people don't respect your resume. They don't respect what you've done so far. But that all of that can end if you beat Kansas City in this game. You still got to prove it in January. But if you win this game, there will be no more conversations about the schedule game when it comes to the Buffalo Bills. I'm excited for this one. I think it's the best matchup that we have in the National Football League. You got two very even teams on paper, two teams that know each other very well, a coin flip kind of game. This feels like a divisional game, even though it's not. I saw this stat. Since 1950, this is the highest amount of games in which two quarterbacks have played each other before both quarterbacks have turned 30. So we're talking outside of divisions. So we're talking about two teams that know each other very well and have a history of playing close games against one another. And I'm expecting nothing different coming up on Sunday between these two teams. Coming up on the other side, we'll go through some of the top memories in the rivalry between Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. That's coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. No long-term contracts required, just security on your terms. Take control of your business security with Ring Business. Get 24/7 audio video recording to capture everything and look for specific moments efficiently with smart AI search. Install it easily yourself or let our pros do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most.
running it. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring business page on r.com for more information.
This podcast is brought to you by Kleenex Lotion Tissues. You can't predict sick days, but with Kleenex Lotion Tissues, you can be better prepared for them while helping keep your skin healthy. Whether it's a surprise sneeze or a stuffy nose, it's always good to have something gentle on hand. Kleenex Lotion Tissues moisturize to help prevent skin irritation while you're battling those unwanted cold and flu symptoms. It's extra care when you need it most. I mean, why not have one less thing to worry about when you're not feeling your best? For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex.
Introducing Fidelity Trader Plus, the next generation of advanced trading from Fidelity. Customize your tools and charts and access them seamlessly across desktop, web, and mobile. For faster trades anywhere you go, try the all-new Fidelity Trader Plus. Learn more about our most powerful trading platform yet at fidelity.com/traderplus. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE, SIPC.
So we began today's show playing the clip from Dan Orlowski of ESPN's Get Up. He calls this a must-win for the Bills. I agree. I also think this is a must-win for the Kansas City Chiefs. Here's Dan Orlowski of ESPN.
Yeah, this is a must-win for Buffalo. And I go back to why last season ended the way it did. If you go to this matchup at home in Buffalo, Josh Allen has that massive run on fourth down that basically salts the Chiefs away. And then you go to the playoff game, that fourth down that was on the road in Kansas City where he's running around against that pressure, no plan for the protection, and it's a Hail Mary heave up with ends up being somewhat of a drop by Kincaid. For Buffalo to get to the Super Bowl, that game in the playoffs has to be played in Western New York.
I understand the sentiment that Dan Orlowski is saying, and I don't disagree with what he is saying. I just think you can make a lot of those same arguments for Kansas City. Maybe not where the playoff game needs to be. We've seen Kansas City win this playoff game at home, and they've also won it in Orchard Park. But both of these teams are in a very, very contentious race in their division and for the one seed in the AFC. The Chiefs might not need it, but it certainly would be nice to have. It'd be great to play a home playoff game. It'd be great to not go on the road for potentially the AFC championship game or the divisional round. So I think the Chiefs need this. I think the Bills need this. I've told you guys, I think Buffalo will have one of the biggest fumbles that we've seen in the last decade if they don't get the one seed. Everything was built for them to get the one seed. And then if you look at the way that the season is playing itself out, we spent so much time talking about this big four quarterbacks in the AFC. I mean, Joe Burrow is injured right now. Lamar Jackson has missed a big portion of the season and is just getting back. His team is 3-5 right now. So the AFC is not shaping out the way that we thought it was. You got Denver. They're making a little bit of noise. Pittsburgh, the Chargers, some of your usual suspects, New England, but that's a team that's in Buffalo's division. So if you're Buffalo right now, the AFC, I don't want to say it feels wide open because you got to deal with Kansas City, but if it's not the Chiefs, then who? The answer needs to be the Buffalo Bills. So I think that both sides just equally need to win this game. We also talked about how much of a statement game that I think this is for Kansas City. They can be 6-3 or 5-4 heading into the bye week. There is a massive difference, and it puts a different pressure going on the road to Denver. If you're 5-4, if they're on the road going to Denver with 5-4 and Denver's got a 2-game lead and got a chance to go up 3 with 7 to go, we got to start having some different conversations about the Broncos. We got to start having some different conversations about Kansas City and the AFC West. Now, let's see how things play itself out. But I think both teams really, really need to win this game for various reasons. Let's take a trip down memory lane. I asked Rob to give me what he thinks are the 5 biggest memories from Patrick Mahomes against Josh Allen. I mean, we have to start here, don't we?
36-36 tie in overtime. Chiefs first down and goal to go. Mahomes looks to throw it. Pump faking right side. He wants it. A comeback cut. It is caught by Kelce. Touchdown, Kansas City. One of the greatest duos in the history of the National Football League. Patrick Mahomes to Travis Kelce on a push fade comeback. And the Chiefs have won this incredible divisional playoff game in overtime.
I believe the Chiefs and Bills is the best game that Arrowhead Stadium has ever seen. I don't know if you can find a game at Arrowhead with a bigger swing or a game really, period. I mean, Kansas City is up 33-29 with 2 minutes left in the game. So you just scored a touchdown. It's 2 minutes left in the game. You're thinking you just got to get one stop. Well, they go down the field. They then score a touchdown in this scenario. What? Big pass play to Gabe Davis. And then you get the ball back. And you remember that Buffalo, they're hugging each other. Buffalo feels like they won this game. They're going to the AFC Championship game. And if I'm remembering it correctly, Buffalo is then going to be hosting the game. Kansas City gets the ball back, kick the ball off, 13 seconds touchback out the back of the end zone. Next thing you know, 19-yard pass, 25-yard pass, Harrison Butker kicks a 49-yard field goal. You go to overtime, you win the coin toss, you win, you advance to the AFC Championship game. You want to talk about a swing of momentum. You go from up with a minute to go to down with 50-something seconds left. You then tie the game. You go to overtime. What an incredible ending. That is the moment, the memory from this rivalry. But trust me, there have been other ones. One thing that I hate about the way that we discuss Josh Allen, the way that we discuss his career and everything that has happened, sometimes I think it's painted like it's woe is me kind of stuff. Well, the last 2 years, Buffalo has had the ball at the end of the game with a chance to go win it. One of those times, they did this.
1:47 to go in the game on 4th-and-9 for Buffalo. Placement down. Bass's kick is up, and the kick is no good! A little prophecy! Tyler Bass has struggled, and he just misses the kick.
Kansas City will next snap with a 34-yard.
And the Chiefs will take over at the point of the missed kick. Their own 34-yard line as Tyler Bass misses this wide to the right.
Buffalo was down 27-24. They got the ball at home with 8 minutes left in the game. They had a 6-minute-and-40-second drive. This is the drive. Now, I'm not saying it ends the game. The Chiefs get the ball back. They get a chance. So the game's not over. But you got a chance to not just tie the game, you got a chance to take the lead, and you have the opportunity to put some pressure on Kansas City to where now they got to go down the field and potentially score a field goal, a touchdown, to try to beat you in your building with that crowd going crazy and your defense having the ability to pin back their ears and go get after the other team's quarterback. If you guys remember, you go back, it is 1st-and-10 from the 27-yard line. Rob, they got one more yard. Now, they drove down the field. It's 1st-and-10 from the 27-yard line. You still got the 2-minute warning to go, and you still got 2 timeouts. You got to find a way to put this ball in the end zone come hell or high water. There is no excuses. You're the second-best quarterback in the NFL. You're an MVP. We think one day you're going to Canton. You're one of the greatest quarterbacks that we've ever seen. You got the other team on the ropes in your building. You've driven the ball down the field. You got to find a way to score a touchdown. 1st-and-10 from the Kansas 7-yard line. They run the ball on 1st down. They throw it twice on 2nd and then on 3rd down. Incomplete, missed field goal. Some of that's got to be on your quarterback. You did a great job getting them down the field. Phenomenal. You got to finish your breakfast. And they didn't finish their breakfast. So if you're Josh Allen, I'm not leaving it to the kicker. I'm not doing that. Not when you know you got a killer on the other side, somebody that wants to end you, and that's exactly what happens. Chiefs get the ball back, they run out the clock, and now your fans are mad, they're throwing snowballs on the field because you guys lost. So I don't want to make it seem like woe is me and the rules and the coin toss. And no, you had an opportunity. You failed on the opportunity. You lose. Good day, sir. I mean, that wasn't the only time that happened. It happened last year, too. Don't talk to me about the tush push and the ball spot. No, you had the ball 1st-and-10 from the Kansas City 30-yard line. You didn't get to midfield. You wasn't good enough. Simple. You weren't good enough. Here's more Josh Allen.
4 to the left side of the field. That's the wide side. Ball will be snapped on the right hash. 4th-and-5, Josh Allen. Now he brings Khalil Shakir in motion. Orbit motion. Now peels back to the left. Chiefs are chasing Josh Allen. He throws it up for grabs. And the pass is incomplete. Incomplete. Off the arm of the would-be receiver, Dalton Kincaid. Kansas City has the 2nd 4th-down stop
in this half.
Two fourth down stops in the half. You just heard from Mitch Holthus. Two of them. Some of that's got to be on the quarterback, man. I'm not putting that on the officials. I'm putting that on your QB. You got to be better. You got to take your team down the field. It's first and 10 from the 30-yard line. You got one first down. One. Josh Allen didn't complete a pass on the drive. The drive ended at the 47-yard line. You got 17 yards with the game on the line. Josh Allen had the opportunity to go into Arrowhead and break hearts. That's what Patrick Mahomes lives for. That's what Tom Brady lives for. That's what Michael Jordan lives for. I want to go into your stadium, and I want to ensure that your fans leave heartbroken. Josh got to show us that he's built like that. I know Pat is. I know one thing. The Chiefs would have gotten field goal range at a minimum. It was a three-point game. You didn't even need to score a touchdown. You could have extended the game. It was 32-29 with 3 minutes left, and you got the ball. You got to get the ball to midfield. You didn't even give Tyler Bass a chance to miss this year's kick. You didn't get to field goal range. Embarrassing. Now, there have been a couple of other things that have happened in these games, too, that I also want to play for you guys. We've seen Patrick Mahomes mad. I would say the two times that I've seen him most upset, it was the playoff game against Jacksonville. You remember where Andy goes to tell him that he's not going back in the game. And understandably, Pat had a meltdown on the sideline. He slams his helmet. I'm good. Well, it's up to Andy to look out for you and protect you and put you in a good situation. I understand why Andy stepped in and said, hey, we'll win this game. Go make sure that you're good and we'll move on from there. And it was also after this.
20-17 Buffalo. They send another blitz. Selling out. Flag on the play. Might be a free one. They've got Kelce at the 30. Kelce 25. Angling back. 20. Now he's going to lateral it back at the 15-yard line. It's Tony. 10. 5. Touchdown. Kansas City. They mess around in practice with this all the time. It's going to go with a 49-yard touchdown. Kelce, the old University of Cincinnati quarterback.
Offside. Number 19. Offense lined up in the neutral zone, 5-yard penalty.
Check it out. Boy, Pat was mad on this line. Pat was mad. Who was that player, Rob, for the Pistons? Remember that time that LeBron accidentally cut him and he was like trying to go after LeBron and he's like storming
Isaiah,
on the field?
Isaiah Stewart?
I think that's him. That's how Patrick Mahomes looked on the sideline afterwards. He just looked mad. We learned two things there. Number one, we already knew this, but it was just a fun reminder. Man, Travis Kelce loved a lateral, man. He was a quarterback back in the day. I could tell that Travis Kelce played a lot of NFL street, you know? I could just tell. Just played a lot of NFL street. A lot of option football. A lot of pitches. A lot of all of those things. I get it. I love it. I think we also knew right then and there that Kadarius Toney was never coming back. Never coming back. I wouldn't be surprised if at the end of the game, you know, Kadarius Toney kind of leaves the locker room a little bit early. Pat kind of hangs back and then he goes in. Hey, Andy, you free? Hey, get him off the team. Please get him off the team. I don't want to be around him anymore. That might have been the last time that we honestly saw Kadarius Toney. I think he then opened up a SoundCloud page immediately after this. That's when he really started investing in rap after that. He knew at that point, hey, I might got to figure something else out. That's when the Chiefs told him he was hurt. He was like, I feel fine. No, you're not fine. Something's wrong. We need to get to the bottom of it. I'm telling you, Pat hasn't talked to Kadarius Toney since that day. They have not spoken to each other. Pat deleted his number out his phone. He hasn't talked to him since. Please stay away from me. I don't want to be around you. You got to get off my team. You costed me money. That's what happened. Then remember, Pat was mad for like 10 minutes after that. Remember, that's when they had the little, he went up to Josh Allen and hugged him and was still mad. He probably still mad about that. Walk up to Pat at 1587 and bring it up. He's going to have you removed from the building. He's going to have you removed from the premises. Please don't talk about this to me. You wear a Kadarius Toney jersey in there, I'm telling you, they're going to have you escorted. You're not going to be welcome back to the Lohus after that. Now, I think Kansas City is better than Buffalo. I do. I'm not just saying that because we're here. You know, I don't have any problem picking against the Chiefs. Sometimes I think they're going to lose. I think they're going to lose. Week two, Philadelphia was just better than they were. And that's okay. That's life. Sometimes people are better than you. Kansas City, right now, I think Kansas City is a better and more complete team than the Buffalo Bills. On offense, on defense, I think the Chiefs are better than the team that they are playing. So regardless of where this game is played, I got to go with my gut. I got to take the better team. I'm taking the Chiefs. I'm actually taking the Chiefs -3.5 to give myself plus money. I think the Chiefs are winning this game. But I will acknowledge this. These games just always come down to one play. It's always one thing. These two teams are about as even as two teams could possibly be. Last year in the regular season, it was the example.
This defense has made play after play after play all year to this 9-0 start. Can they make one here down two? At 2:27 to go in the game. Allen is flanked. Teammates on both sides. Takes the snap. Faking a swing route to the right. Now Allen will try to run. He's going to break a tackle. First down, 25-20. Inside the 10 to the 5. And drags Brian Cook into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo. At 2:17 to go in the game. A 26-yard run by Josh Allen.
That's what you and I talk about, Rob, when we talk about the Zombieland double tap. You want to know what Buffalo went for in that moment? They went for the kill shot. We're not kicking a field goal with Tyler Bass. We think we have you, and we are in an advantageous situation. We're going to take advantage of this. We got you on the ground. We're going to beat on you until we think that the fight is over. That's how you got to play Kansas City. We got an opportunity. We can kick a field goal and give Mahomes a chance to go down the field, or we can go win the game ourselves. I'm not giving it to James Cook. I'm not throwing it to Keon Coleman or Schultz or any of those other guys who are all great players. They really are. They're really great players. We're going to trust our 6'6", 245-pound quarterback. We're going to give him the ball. We're going to let him run downhill, and we're going to bet that you guys can't stop him. And they were right. I mean, five of the last six games between these two teams are one-possession games, and one of them was the one that I just mentioned, in which it was close in the final 2 minutes of the game. Buffalo just went forward on fourth down to make it a 9-point lead, and that's how they ended up winning the game. So if there's one thing we know about this game is it is going to be close, it is going to be competitive, it is going to be entertaining, it is going to go down to the wire. Who can avoid the big mistake? Who can execute? Who can make plays? Who can eliminate negative plays? That is usually the team that wins the matchup between these two squads.
Looking back at last year's game, we now have the advantage. We didn't know at the time, but ESPN was doing a documentary on the Chiefs last year, which we did not know at this time last year. It was clear about that double tap game, how much Josh Allen making that run, scoring that touchdown, and icing down that game really stuck with the Chiefs. That's what I think is something that, like, we as fans and media lose about this rivalry is because these two teams, they do respect each other. There is a respect. Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, I believe, are friends with each other. Like, it is competitive between the white lines, and they want to win, but it is, they are friendly with each other. But it was clear watching that Kingdom documentary from last year's game that it really bothered the Chiefs. It bothered Karloftis. It bothered Bolton. Like, they highlighted players in that documentary that Josh Allen double tap play really stuck with all of them. And then the ensuing week they struggled against Carolina. It bothered them because they knew what championship level football looked like. And after a loss, it felt like they weren't there. Those are the kind of things that make this rivalry great. Hey, that team's good. And sometimes you lose, but the fact that it bothers them so much and it sticks with them to the level it does really highlights how much this Bills and Chiefs rivalries means to the players.
Let me ask you this question. Did you know that Buffalo has ran for more yards than any team in the National Football League, despite only playing 7 games so far this season, where Indianapolis has played 8, Kansas City has played 8, a lot of these other teams have played 8 games so far. They've already had their bye week. The Chiefs, example, have their bye week next week. It is very, very odd to feel that a team is, by numbers, the best at something and not feeling worried about it at all. Now, I'm not coming into this thinking that Kansas City is holding James Cook to 37 yards rushing and Josh Allen isn't going to have some success. We're talking about two of the better players in the league. But I don't really feel like James Cook is going to kill the Chiefs. I think he will be productive, sure, but I don't think he kills the Chiefs.
It's a very comforting feeling heading into a matchup like this against a player like him who has as hot as any running back in the NFL this side of Jonathan Taylor, and feel like you match up against him very, very well. I mean, we're talking about James Cook is averaging 6 yards a carry so far this season. He already has 7 touchdowns through the first 7 games of the season. We're talking about a guy who has been an absolute dog so far this season. Sure, you can make the argument that all of it happened in the Carolina game. I mean, he ran for 132 yards against the Jets earlier. He ran for 108 yards against the Dolphins on 19 carries, had 117 yards back in week 4 against the New Orleans Saints. Now, you haven't gone up against a rush defense like this that I think is capable of taking you away, but the Chiefs are going up against the number one rush offense in the NFL, and it doesn't feel like it is a storyline in any capacity in Kansas City because the Chiefs' run defense has been very well. They've performed very well against these kinds of running backs, these kind of teams.
I want to look it up because I feel like James Cook last year was good in both Chiefs games. Like, I feel like I'm trying to remember off the top of my head because last year I remember in the postseason he had that diving touchdown and the Chiefs still got the best of him. Last year in the postseason against the Chiefs, he had 13 carries for 85 yards, a cool 6.5 yards per carry. James Cook was successful against the Chiefs in that game. In the Chiefs regular season game last year, it felt like James Cook was good again. I'm trying to pull up his game log real quick from last year. James Cook has had a level of success against the Chiefs. He has not been a guy they just stifle and there's no way they can get him. I guess he was bad last year, 9 for 20. Josh Allen was the running problem last year. But it feels like so much of this game is going to come down to Josh Allen versus Patrick Mahomes. And maybe that's just me falling for the narrative, falling for the storyline, falling for the highlights, but James Cook has been good in this game and it doesn't matter. James Cook has made plays that you remember in this game. It doesn't matter. Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes is the story, and I think some of your rushing stat, and this is not to diminish James Cook, some of the reasons the Bills are so successful running the ball is because Josh Allen is also a very successful runner. Like, he's not Lamar. Lamar might be the best we've ever seen at a running quarterback, but he is in that second tier. If there's a name in your head other than Mike Vick or Lamar Jackson as a quality running quarterback, I'm betting Josh Allen is in this tier. So it's not just James Cook that makes the Bills so successful running the ball. It's the fact their quarterback, who's built like Cam Newton, is also really successful running the ball against the Kansas City Chiefs.
I mean, looking at it so far this season, Josh Allen has 50 carries for 260 yards and 5 touchdowns. So I'm with you. I think he is a very different runner, but I would say on a 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1 situation, that's where you kind of got to be careful when it's the Buffalo. They can give it to James Cook, who has proven himself to be a very capable back, or that's where you get that kind of Tim Tebow shotgun run play that you get from Josh Allen. You get his full speed, you get his momentum running downhill, and just makes him a very, very difficult player to stop. One thing that the text line kind of brought up that I did not know this, did you know that James Cook doesn't have a catch in his last 3 games?
That's actually extremely surprising.
Not something I would have guessed, because usually you are anticipating James Cook being somebody that is a dual threat. They throw it to him out of the backfield. I mean, he only has 14 targets this year and only has 1 target in their last 3 weeks. They really haven't thrown it to him a whole lot. Now, they used the passing game to get him into the Ravens game because he wasn't running the game effectively. But since week 1, he has 31 yards receiving since week 1. So he just hasn't really been a major, major factor in the passing game. Very interested to see in this one if that changes a little bit and the Bills try to exploit the Chiefs linebackers a little bit sideline to sideline and throwing out of the backfield. But was very, very surprised when I was getting ready for the show today that James Cook, he doesn't have a catch since he didn't have a catch at any point in October, which is crazy to think for a team that for the most part has used him in that capacity.
Is there another running back they're using in that pass capacity? Like, for a Chiefs analogy, you know how the Chiefs, they don't really throw the ball to Kareem Hunt or Isaiah Pacheco. They used Jerick McKinnon was this guy for a while. Then Breshad Smith became that guy. The Chiefs have like their designated, this is our receiving back. The fact that James Cook's getting no play in the receiving game, is there some backup running back like Ty Johnson or something, or they had Ray Davis for a while? Like, is that a guy they're using in the pass game, or they're just not throwing to backs at all this year?
They're just not throwing it to the backs. I mean, James Cook right now, he has 12 catches for 89 yards. I mean, they're top couple of receivers. If you want to find a place on this team that is disappointing, it's really the pass catchers. None of these guys have taken a step forward. Shakir hasn't taken it. Dalton Kincaid, Keon Coleman, Josh Palmer, James Cook has taken it as a running back, but maybe not as a receiver. Dawson Knox isn't having a big year. So, no, it's just for a team that I think is very good offensively, outside of Allen and Cook running the ball, they just haven't really found that consistent production really from anybody else in the offense. We'll see if that continues on Sunday against the Chiefs. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by Jeremy White of WGR in Buffalo. We'll get his thoughts as we get you ready for Sunday's game between the Chiefs and the Bills. That's all coming up. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. No long-term contracts required. Just security on your terms. Take control of your business security with Ring Business. Get 24/7 audio video recording to capture everything and look for specific moments efficiently with smart AI search. Install it easily yourself or let our pros do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most, running it. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
This podcast is brought to you by Kleenex Lotion Tissues. You can't predict sick days, but with Kleenex Lotion Tissues, you can be better prepared for them while helping keep your skin healthy. Whether it's a surprise sneeze or a stuffy nose, it's always good to have something gentle on hand. Kleenex Lotion Tissues moisturize to help prevent skin irritation while you're battling those unwanted cold and flu symptoms. It's extra care when you need it most. I mean, why not have one less thing to worry about when you're not feeling your best? For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. Sell order assessment fee not included. A limited number of ETFs are subject to a transaction-based service fee of $100. See full list at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
There are some yearly traditions that we have in Kansas City. The Plaza Lights. Shout out to the KC Current. They were going to light the Plaza Lights. The Plaza Art Fair. The Big 12 Tournament. Another yearly tradition is Jeremy White coming on our show to preview Chiefs and Bills because they play each other every single year. Jeremy White, how you doing today, my man?
We're doing all right, Carrington. How are you?
Doing fantastic, man. Happy to have you on the show. Let's start with this. What has it been like to celebrate the final year in a building? That's something that I've never experienced before. Kauffman's been up my entire life. Arrowhead Stadium has been up my entire life. Now that's not going to be the case forever, but you guys are saying goodbye to a stadium. What's that been like this season?
It's been pretty cool. They've done some good stuff to commemorate that. The local media has done a bunch of stuff with it. The final game in the stadium, they're going to wear red helmets that they wore back in the 90s when they made four straight Super Bowls. So they're going to commemorate the stadium and the great teams. The thing about it that is, I don't want to say it takes away from it, is the new stadium is being built directly across the street. So it's kind of hard to not look at the new stadium when you're there. And every, you know, you go every couple of weeks, or you go, if you're an out-of-towner, you go for the first time in a year and you see the new stadium, and that kind of steals the show. So, you know, all due respect to the old Highmark, people cannot wait to get in the new one because it looks gorgeous.
So I would say two things that have been the center of conversation here in Kansas City from Chiefs fans. Number one has been the defense that the Bills have and a belief that Buffalo can't really stop Kansas City. The second thing has been the schedule. People in Kansas City don't really respect the teams that Buffalo have beaten so far. Let's talk about the defense. Let's talk about the injuries. This defense doesn't feel as dangerous as ones they've had in the past.
I would agree with that. The only disclaimer is, We kind of knew it would be 6 weeks before we had any idea what kind of defense they had. Two of the first and biggest free agents they signed were Michael Hoyt and Larry Ogunjobi. They were both suspended for the first six games because of PEDs. Those are two big pieces on their defensive line. Then Maxwell Hairston, their first-round pick cornerback, he suffered a knee injury in training camp. He was out until last week. So right now that's three pieces that have been added in. And a lot of the belief is that those pieces, especially Hoyt and Hairston, are guys that allow the Bills to kind of change the way they play defense. Now, that said, they've got issues. I mean, Ed Oliver is out. He's been great when he's in. He's out. At safety, Taylor Rapp, he just was put on injured reserve last week. He is going to miss the rest of the season after a knee issue, but he was downright dreadful for them in the secondary, and safety was a big, big concern. Terrell Bernard and Matt Milano are both good to go for this game, but we've got big questions about them. They're just not playing the way they used to. So it's a defense that went through an overhaul, and only about half of the reinforcements that have supposed to come in have come in. But I tend to agree, if you think you can get this defense, I think you can too. There's a stat out there that they're good against the pass, but I think that's a lie. I think it's kind of only good against the pass because the team's having so much success against the run that they don't really need to pass. If Kansas City comes in and passes, I think we're about to find out the Bills' pass defense might be a problem too.
Right now, we're going through things with the Buffalo Bills with Jeremy White of WGR, friend of the show. Let's talk about the schedule. I bet Buffalo to be the one seed at the very beginning of the season at plus 250. A lot of it was because I think Buffalo's a good team. And also, man, their schedule was just tailor-made to be the one seed. Now, it's still not outside the realm of possibility. But what has discouraged me about this Bills team is they played the Patriots. They have a pulse. They lost. They played Atlanta. Atlanta is just one of those teams that just kind of stuck in the middle. They got really dominant for 60 minutes. I haven't really seen this Buffalo team tested and pass a test so far this season.
I'd agree with that. The Ravens game, they rallied to win. They got a little bit lucky along the way. They were down double digits in that game and getting blown out. And a Derrick Henry fumble, a deflected pass into the end zone, the Bills catch for a touchdown on a fourth down. They got a couple of breaks there. But the big story around here, even though they won last week 49 over Carolina, the big story is that the offense does not look right, especially the passing game. Sure, the Bills can run for 200, and if they face a team that can't stop the run, they can run all day and win the game that way. But in obvious passing situations, the Bills' offense is in trouble. Josh Allen is taking more sacks. His pressure-to-sack ratio has always been very good. He's getting hit a lot. He's getting sacked a lot. And teams are blitzing him more and more and more because there are no threats on the outside. Teams are not afraid of the Bills' weapons. And right now the quarterback is paying for it. He's also not without blame here. He's not played particularly well. Turned the ball over a couple of times, missed some open throws, missed some open reads. So right now, the number one thing Bills fans would probably like to see would be see the MVP quarterback look like an MVP, because it's been a little while since that's happened.
So let's focus in on the passing game. You know the fans are always mad at somebody. One person has to get the ire of the blame. Is that at Keon Coleman? Is that at Dalton Kincaid, Khalil Shakir? Like, who's getting the criticism for the lack of passing game?
I'd say there's three people, not Kincaid or Shakir. Coleman is one, but a lot of Bills fans think that Coleman's been thrust into a spot that he's not qualified for. He really shouldn't be playing on the outside. A lot of people said that when they drafted him, which, of course, gets us to Brandon Bean, the GM, and Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator. Why are you trying to make this work out there if it's not going to work out there? And they can't bring him in the slot, really, where many people thought Keon Coleman would be a power slot, because the Bills are flush in the slot with Shakir and often Dalton Kincaid. So the three are Coleman, yes, and Joe Brady, because this passing game doesn't really even try to move the ball down the field. And, of course, Brandon Bean. It's been a talking point in Buffalo for many years, like 2 to 3 years, that this team has underfunded their receiver position for Josh Allen. Last year kind of gave them this belief that they could have this everybody eats mindset and you don't actually want a number one, that it's better to not have someone to identify. Some of us thought that was kind of bunk. And right now it's coming home to roost. Like, they don't have a lot at the receiver position, especially on the outside. With Josh Palmer out of this game, the outside receivers are Keon Coleman, who's been a very big disappointment because he can't separate and he runs like two routes, and Tyrell Shavers, who's a nice story, who made the roster out of training camp. But it's just really tough on the outsides. And for good defenses, they know what to do. They don't worry about getting beat on the outside, and they can blitz Josh Allen and cover the middle of the field.
Tomorrow, if Joe Brady took the LSU job, would Bills fans even care?
I think Bills fans would thank Joe Brady for the job he did. He did a great job the last year and a half. But by the end of this year, it won't surprise me if he is somewhere else and the Bills are ready for a bit of a new look to this offense. The thing about the Bills and their fans, they're always taking the blame on how the offense looks to the head coach, because they kind of believe that Sean McDermott wants a run-first approach and wants to be conservative. Whether that's true or not, that's a widely held belief around here. The thing about Brady taking a big job is, I mean, he's never been a head coach. He's been a coordinator in Carolina and LSU and here in Buffalo, and I just feel like, you know, he's being mentioned for some of these big, high-profile head coaching jobs. I just don't see it yet. He's young. He's had some success. I feel like a lesser program is something he might want to go for.
Right now, we're talking to Jeremy White with WGR in Buffalo, getting you ready for Chiefs and Bills. Jeremy, in Kansas City, I would say the fans are at a 0 out of 10 when it comes to worry in the division. Chiefs fans don't really believe in the Chargers. They don't really believe in the Broncos. They expect to win 10 straight divisions. What's the feeling in Buffalo right now, especially after losing the first game at home to the Patriots? Are Bills fans worried that they're not going to win the AFC East?
Yeah, I think for the first time in a while. A couple of years ago, the Bills had to chase down Miami 3 games behind with 3 games to play, and they chased them down and beat them. The difference is the Patriots don't really have any road bumps left. Atlanta this week, okay, if they get by Atlanta and the Bills lose to the Chiefs, it's going to be tough. The Bills will have to maybe run the table to get a chance to beat New England for the division. Their schedule is easy. I think there's respect for their head coach. There's definitely growing respect for their quarterback, Drake May. There's also a little bit of a, you know, salt in the wound of Stephon Diggs being a big part of it. Diggs leaves, right? The relationship here broke up, and we could say what we want to say, but part of the selling point on Diggs leaving was, well, he's washed up. He can't play anymore. Well, he came into Buffalo and had 100 yards in beating them. So that's kind of a little sensitive subject, too. Like, wait a minute. We don't have any receivers. The guy that left 2 years ago that you kind of said was washed up just beat you for the quarterback that's up and coming, that's the young Josh Allen. So there's some tension around here. I think a lot of Bills fans think they will maybe track them down and get a chance to win it in New England. But if the Bills don't do their part of the job, then they won't have a chance.
I'll get you out of here with this last question, Jeremy. You know, we always appreciate your time. Give me your Bills win if scenario. Give me your Chiefs win if scenario for Sunday.
Boy, the Chiefs win scenario for me is easy if they play a clean game. I know last week they had 2 turnovers and like 100 yards in penalties and still won. I think the Chiefs are much more well equipped to win this game. If the Bills can rush the passer well enough, get some turnovers, they overhauled their front to try and get after the passer. And Joey Bosa's here. Greg Rousseau is playing pretty well. Like, we'll see how that goes. Michael Hoyt adds that element. So if they can get to Patrick Mahomes quick enough and kind of collapse the pocket, I think they'll have a chance, maybe force some mistakes. I would say that coupled with a conservative run game and a conservative dink-dunk passing game, I think the Bills can win a close game. I think the Chiefs are more likely to win by a touchdown to 10 points to more. I usually think these games are coin tosses, and this one I don't. This one I think the Bills are underdogs with good reason, and I would think the Chiefs are going to win.
Jeremy, something tells me that you need to go ahead and set an alarm in your phone, because I'm going to be on your show like January 19th. That feels like we got another date set for this thing.
You know, well, the winner of this game is probably going to host that game, right?
Well, we already know that game more than likely is going to be in Kansas City, and almost always is in Kansas City.
Well, I mean, if the Bills win this game, they're how many games ahead of Kansas City? They could still both win the division. Like, I do think that whoever loses this game has to really brace for the idea of going on the road in the playoffs, especially the Bills. So it's a big one for different reasons, right? It's been big for a lot of reasons, for one seed, for narrative. And this time, you know, whether you take the division opponent seriously or not, there's two divisions on the line. And it's also, I think, kind of interesting that Baltimore is having the same life right now, right? They're trying to get themselves off the mat and run to the top of the division as well. So maybe after all said and done, it's Bills, Chiefs, and Ravens that win the three divisions. And, you know, it was just a little more interesting along the way.
Absolutely. That is Jeremy White of WGR in Buffalo joining us on the show to get you ready for Chiefs and Bills. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll talk about the Bills offense. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. And with no long-term contracts required, you can change your setup whenever your business needs change. Protect your business with powerful features designed to keep you in complete control. Get round-the-clock audio-video recording for nonstop protection. Stop scrolling through hours of footage. Find almost any events efficiently with AI search. Keep an eye on up to 4 camera feeds at once across all your locations for total peace of mind. Get trained security professionals to monitor your business around the clock and request emergency when needed. Ring Business is easy to install yourself or let our professional installers do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most, running it. Ring Business, business security that works for you. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
This podcast is brought to you by Kleenex Lotion Tissues. You can't predict sick days, but with Kleenex Lotion Tissues, you can be better prepared for them while helping keep your skin healthy. Whether it's a surprise sneeze or a stuffy nose, it's always good to have something gentle on hand. Kleenex Lotion Tissues moisturize to help prevent skin irritation while you're battling those unwanted cold and flu symptoms. It's extra care when you need it most. I mean, why not have one less thing to worry about when you're not feeling your best? For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at UnitedHealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. Sell order assessment fee not included. A limited number of ETFs are subject to a transaction-based service fee of $100. See full list at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.